Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Thank you guys for being with us today. You know, I always look forward to Wednesdays and getting to connect with our inspired listeners and just hearing all the wisdom that our guests share with us. And today we've got a great show ahead of us. Why? Because we're going to be talking about an emotion that every one of us holds inside. And it's a powerful one at that, which is fear. And our guest today has so much wisdom to share with us on how to understand fear and, most importantly, how to move through it. So we got a great show ahead of us today. Of course, if you have any questions for our guest, now is the time to ask them, because she's got a lot of experience in working through this very powerful emotion that we carry within us. And you can call us live at 202-570-7057, or of course you can send through your questions on our Facebook page, which Mark and I always check. But first, I'm Kim Falcon. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so at lovefirst.info. And if I can support you in any way through guidance and readings, energy healings, or hypnosis, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I absolutely love the work that I do and the people that I'm so honored to get to work with. You can also connect with me on social media and join me every Friday on Facebook Live at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific for conscious spiritual conversation, Q&A, and mini guidance readings. I always have fun connecting with them. I love First Lovely's group there that joins me on Fridays, and every week we talk about different topics, and it's just our time to kind of come together as a community. So you can join me there, and of course my partner Mark has an event that he does on Mondays, which I know he'll be talking about too. So we've got you covered every day, or every week, I should say, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So with that said, I'd like to welcome on my co-host, Mark Lainhart, the Intuitive Prospector. How you doing, Mark?
Hello, Kim. Welcome back. Hello, inspired listeners. I am wonderful. We're in the month of March, so the days are getting longer. It's staying light out longer. So I'm really appreciative of the weather changing, especially here in Seattle. January and February can be very dreary and rainy, which obviously impacts your thoughts and your emotions. So I'm happy to be moving into the month of March. And thank you for being here for all of our inspired listeners. I am Mark Lainhart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from my studio here in Seattle, Washington. If you want to learn more about the work that I'm doing, you can visit marklainhart.com. Internet search the Intuitive Prospector. And like Kim said, we do have you covered all week, whether it's conversations, readings, spiritual chats. I have Metaphysical Mocha Mondays through my Facebook Live and YouTube channel. So make sure to check that out Monday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Intuitive Prospector page. And then, of course, today our live show, every Wisdom Wednesday of Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. And then, of course, Kim finishes out the week with Aloha Freedom Fridays. So got you covered all week. It's great to tune in and interact with us. And like Kim said, if you want to call into the show today, the number to call, 202-570-7057. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is Inspired Living Radio. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle Inspired For Us. That is the number 4. If you missed the live show today, no worries. We are on several podcast encore shows. Ohm Times Radio Archives streams this throughout the rest of the week. And then we go over to the podcast format of iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Podbean. And I know Kim and I both have our favorites at lovefirst.info and marklanehart.com. So we've been in 4 seasons of Inspired Living Radio, and we have a lot of fun. Today's going to be a fantastic show as we focus in on fear. And I was talking with our guest right before we went on air, and I was saying, for me, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym that I use all the time. So we're going to be talking about that for the next hour or so. So we're looking forward to that. And with every show, we like to have a positive affirmation. So this month's positive affirmation is, the person who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. The person who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. So that's your positive affirmation this month. And Kim, I'm going to turn it back over to you so we can get into the show and start talking about fear.
Yes, I'm sure there's people listening to this going, oh my goodness, what's this all about? Well, our guest has written a book. It's called Fear is Not an Option. She is a self-proclaimed change junkie. Now, there's a lot of fear that people hold around change, so this is going to be a good thing for us to talk through. And our guest name is Monica Berg, and she's a fresh voice that channeled her many years of Kabbalistic study. And I'm really excited to have conversation about Kabbalah, because this is the first time that we've explored what Kabbalah is. We've got somebody who holds a lot of experience and knowledge in this area. And so she's going to share that, but she also shares a lot of what her personal life experiences have been. And so that's always helpful too. And she shows individuals how to create a life that not only feels like it's working, but most importantly, a life in which they are living and loving as the powerful, fulfilled person they've always wanted to be. That is wonderful. As a mother of 4 who triumphed over an eating disorder, Monica is direct with her trademark blend of humor, insight, and raw honesty. She leads people to not only see how they can change, but inspires them to get excited about a lifestyle of change. So this is a really great thing for us to learn more about and to talk about, because change is not often something that we fully embrace. So with that said, Monica Berg, thank you so much for being with us today. We're excited to hear all of the wisdom it is that you've set this time aside to share with us. So thank you for being here with us today.
Welcome, Monica.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. And it sounds like you both are doing amazing, great work to help everybody elevate their consciousness. So this should be a very exciting hour to share.
Yeah, well, we do our best, Monica. You know, we're all learning as we go along, and we certainly like to share what it is we've learned with our listeners, along with the guests that we bring on. So you have a very interesting background and a journey it is that you share with your with the readers in your book, Fear is Not an Option, which is really nice. Like, you've got this real, like you said in the intro, real honest approach to sharing about the different parts of your journey, what you learned from them, and, you know, all of the births of your children and just your path, the eating disorder that you experienced. So talk to us a little bit about your background and how it is that's brought you to where you are today.
So when every time I was saying earlier that there's another book, I've written 2 more books, and I think that it's, for me, any experience that I have, any challenge, any hardship, it's not enough for me to learn from it or grow from it alone. We all are struggling the same battles. Maybe my bucket will be fuller in one area than somebody else's, or vice versa. We all have different areas of focus, but we all are living the same human experiences. So in writing this book, you know, one of the most rewarding comments I got was, they said, you know, you write about things that happen to you that could be perceived as weak, but you writing about, you know, having overcome an eating disorder, or having, you know, your second son born with Down syndrome, or, you know, being afraid of your uncle who had schizophrenia, it actually shows tremendous strength. And I think that behind everything that I try to say and do is is that exactly. Let's find the strength that has come through the hardship. So for me, the journey started, I remember, you know, I have early childhood memories from age three of playing with God. I mean, I really specifically remember, and I remember as a child thinking, you know, I don't feel like I belong here. I don't have the answers. Like, why are we here? What's our purpose? Like, really deep thoughts. And really, I was raised in a household that wasn't really spiritual. There's a lot of love, but there were no answers. So around 17, I stumbled upon Kabbalah, and it was the first time that I got answers to life's questions and understanding purpose and starting to discover what my purpose is, or at least asking the questions that would eventually help me get there. And that coupled with a belief system that I have and I've always had is that nobody's meant to suffer. So if I don't believe in suffering and I want to find a way to grow from situations, I think that formula together is what has helped me shift my consciousness and to work on things that hopefully will shift others as well.
Beautiful. And I find it so helpful to hear other people's backgrounds and experiences, and that's how we can all support each other. Because we're all going through our own thing, you know. We might be working on fear, but it might be playing out in different ways in each of our lives. And so when we come together and share in the way that you're doing, in the way that Mark and I try and do with our listeners too, you know, it's beautiful that we can assist each other in that way. So when you talk about, and what an incredible experience or memory to have is playing with God at the age of three. Actually, I'd like to ask about that. What is it like to play with God? What was your experience like there?
Well, it was, I had this little, it looked like a television, and you would turn the knob, you know, this is in the 70s, and you would have a different story, and I would play these different, like, things that you would watch, and I'd have a tea party, and I'd bring teacups out, and I just remember feeling very safe, and I felt very connected to an energy of where I had come from, because, again, in my surroundings, in my home, I kept feeling unsafe. I think that that's where fear actually started. Nobody had any, there was no sense of security, there were no answers. I remember looking around at the adults, and they seemed to be struggling, and that was age four, five, six, seven. And it just got even worse as I got older. I guess I was more aware. So that feeling that I had at a very young age, when I found spirituality again, because I went to Beverly Hills High School, you know, like the show, and I had a different kind of education and a lot of things. I saw very scary things. I saw lives really derail as a teen. And I remember when I found spirituality, I remember feeling that feeling I had at four, three, four, five, right? It was like I had come home again. So for me, it was really profound. And that's when I started to really remember my childhood experiences, that warm safety. And, you know, I think that you had mentioned earlier, we all have fear. What I discovered in writing my book is that we all have the same fear at the core of it all, which is the fear of the unknown. And it can manifest in different areas, but we all are afraid of that, right? So that's why anything that happens that scares us, usually our response is to be paralyzed, you know, to avoid it, to not think about it, to occupy your mind with something else. I'm saying go right through it, you know, look it in the face and see what's there. Because at the core, we are all afraid of the unknown. I mean, life is indescribable, right? It's unknowable. That can feel very uncomfortable.
So where is it like, okay, when you work through fear, and I've got some questions too about Kabbalah. So again, since your book, you know, covers Kabbalah and you practice it, I would love to just, you know, for our audience, you could give us an understanding of what the practices are of Kabbalah, the teachings or the, I mean, I know it's a vast topic here, but just an overview of what the beliefs are, the practices are, because you know, I think we see the celebrities that are into Kabbalah and they're wearing their you know, bracelet and whatever. I don't know. But that's a lot of times how we're introduced to it, right? Like Madonna, she was a big Kabbalah. She introduced all Demi Moore, all these people. Can you tell I come from L.A. too? Anyway.
Right.
I think that's what my that's the extent to which I understand it. So if you could share with our audience, what is Kabbalah and how can it help support others?
Absolutely. So, yeah, celebrities definitely have brought attention to Kabbalah, which is great. But what it is, it's an ancient wisdom that explains the complexities of our material and our non-material world. So for thousands of years, Kabbalists have taught that every human being is born with a potential for greatness. And Kabbalah is a remarkably effective means in activating that potential. So that's it in a nutshell. I think that Kabbalah is more relevant now than ever before. We're living in a time where we're becoming more conscious about everything, right? Like from the food that we eat to the words that come out of our mouths. And I think that we're starting to understand what Kabbalists have been teaching for millennia, and that is that the energy we put out in the world and the consciousness we bring into the challenges dictates our life experiences. So if you, and in the study, and really it's a practice, you start to look at the things that are happening to you and they happen through you, right? There's an evolution that occurs. So with this study, it would be impossible to have victim mentality or, again, believing in staying stagnant or just settling. It's always looking for more, you know, more growth, more change, more happiness, more fulfillment, more learning. I mean, that's, I think that's what excites me. It's endless. It's so vast.
I love that. And so many people don't see themselves as, you know, being available to experience their own greatness, or they don't even understand that greatness is within them. That's who they naturally are. So to have means like Kabbalah that remind us of that and teach us about that is really nice. Oh goodness, wouldn't you know, that's our first break. Okay, we've got so much more to cover. As we come back, stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes as we continue our conversation on fear. Fear is not an option. We're going to be delving into fear when we come back. So stay with us. You're not going to want to miss this.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. Today, our very special guest, Monica Berg, talking with about her first book, Fear is Not an Option. And we're going right into the break, Monica, so I want to pick back up from the other side of this break and continue the conversation. And then I have a question about how being a change junkie and why that's so important. I thought that was kind of an interesting concept, but let's pick up where we were on the other side of the break, and let's continue this inspiring conversation, because we like to say you are the inspired and the inspiration.
Great.
Oh, did we lose you there, Monica?
No, I'm here. I was just going to add on what we were speaking about earlier about Kabbalah. You know, and what Kim was saying about people not realizing their potential. I think that very often we have so much baggage we carry around with us, whether it's from negative, you know, feedback or judgment we've gotten from our environment or our peers or just society. And in truth, at our core, we all are perfect. Like, we have a perfected self. And what happens is through actions in our lifetime, whether we act in ways that are not in our aligned with our highest self, if we act in ways that are with ego, we hurt others, we basically put layers on top of our essence. And our job in this lifetime is to peel back those layers and to reveal our true nature. And that's really the beauty and the evolution. Once you start to study this wisdom, it's through the practice that allows this to happen.
Yeah, exactly, through the practice. So for our inspired listeners, I'm kind of just going to improv here, but I thought it'd be kind of fun. I'd like to introduce the listening audience to Fear. And if I could, real quick, I just want to read just a little bit out of your book as I was reading through it this week. And it says, I am the voice in your head that says you aren't good enough, not strong enough, not smart enough. I'm the one who keeps you small, who steals your tongue, who quiets your passionate voice. I'm the one who stops you, who says no, who tells you to expect less because that's what you deserve. I make your hands tremble, your heart race, and your palms sweat. I keep you up at night and give you power to your doubts. My name is Fear. And that's how the book opens, and I thought it was very, very powerful statement to introduce fear and what fear looks like and that voice within all of us. Because, like you said, we all, you know, suffer in buy into fear. How can we start to move past this? And as far as with the book, how can we start to live fearlessly? How can we work through? What are some tools we could use to start working through some of these fears that we all share together?
Well, the first step is deciding that fear doesn't have a place in your life anymore. I think for many, again, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. So we try to avoid the things that we're afraid of or some medicated away or, you know, it's just not dealing with it at all. I think the first thing is there's three types of fear. And I think in breaking them down, I think it's a very helpful first step. Do you want me to go through them really quickly?
Yes, please. I think that'd be fantastic.
So
yeah, please.
There's healthy fear, there's real fear, and there's illogical. So healthy fear is healthy. Basically, it's set up for our protection. It's our intuition. It's our gut. It's that feeling that we get in the pit of our stomach when something doesn't feel quite right. You know, like if you're going to walk into an elevator and there's somebody in there that's making you feel really uncomfortable. And normally we don't want to appear rude. We'd walk in. No, that feeling that you have should be honored always. It's there and it's set up for your protection. The same thing if, you know, you put your hand too close to a flame or you are too close to the edge of a cliff, right? Something you feel within you makes you kind of step back. It's set up for your safety and your protection. The next fear is real, and that's also rooted in reality. The fear of illness, of death, of losing our loved ones, of failure, of rejection. These are things that do happen in life. But even with this fear, it can be used as a motivator for change, because if we're afraid of losing the people we love, for instance, I know so many people ruminate about this idea and they get upset about it and they spend so much time worrying about when that day will come. I'm saying actually use it to inspire you to make sure you tell the people in your life that you love them, that you spend the time together. It's quality time. It's fun. It's purposeful, right? So even with this fear, it can be used for something good. Then there's a logical fear, and this is what gets us all the time. It's fear of heights, spiders, public speaking. It's all of those things that basically keep us frantic and worried and in a chaotic mode. And it really just takes our energy away from what we should be doing and could be doing. So we put all of this like, oh, I don't want to do that, I'm afraid of this. And we're stuck there versus saying, okay, this doesn't have any place in my life. So the first thing is know that you always have a choice. And the choice begins with perspective. So you can change the way that you see things, right? And from that understanding and from that consciousness, then you can begin to change your words, your actions, and ultimately your experiences. So it's to know that you're in the driver's seat, not the fear.
Mm-hmm. Because you're right. You know, a lot of things that we fear takes us to a place. You know, a lot of things we don't understand usually leads us to that fear energy that you're talking about. Things that we may not be familiar with, that might be new, might be change. You said spiders. I honestly had, growing up, I've always had a fear of spiders. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I don't fear rats or snakes or large animals that would actually have a greater capability of actually biting you or hurting you. I'm actually fearful of this little thing with, you know, eight legs that crawls around. So when
it
you said spiders, I start. Yeah, it doesn't matter the size. It could be a little one, it could be a big one. But over the years, I've really learned to work through and address that fear because, again, it, you know, the mind leads you to things that usually don't happen. And, you know, with, you know, I spent several years in the U.S. Coast Guard and several years in firefighting as a professional. And there are times when there's real fear, but I've always found that the body's going to do one of three things when real fear is present: fight, flight, or freeze. And everything else is that prison that you talk about in the book, our mind, that tends to lead us to that fear-based thought, that fear-based energy. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from Joseph Campbell, where he talks about the cave that we fear usually holds the treasure that we're seeking. We just don't know it, and we need to go out and find that cave and seek that cave. So I've actually over the years gotten better with spiders and clowns, so two of my own personal fears, I'm sure, with everybody today. So
interesting. I had a big fear of elevators my whole life. I mean, at one point I said to my mom, did you lock me in like a small room when I was little? Because it was so illogical. I would really start to panic. And we moved to New York City 5 years ago. And I remember I made a decision that I'm not taking this fear along with me. I mean, again, I had done a lot of the work that I write about extensively in my book. But I just, you know, and I have. I've climbed 20 flights of stairs after a long run, and I was parched and I didn't have water. And I was like, oh my God, I would catastrophize in my mind. I am not getting stuck in the elevator. I'll die of thirst. Right. Mm-hmm. So I just decided when I moved to New York, this is not coming with me. And my desire to move here was greater than the fear. And just like that, the fear is completely gone.
Yeah, once you address it. Yeah. And in the book, you talk about some tools that people can use to work through these fears. And we've got a few minutes before our second break, but real quick, I want to give our listening audience a chance to check you out as far as your website, which is rethinklife.today. And you're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under Ask Monica Berg on Facebook. And your Twitter is Monica Berg 74. Instagram, same thing, Monica Berg 74. So if you want to work with Monica, you can go to those sites. And then the book itself, is that through all the major outlets today that you can get digital or hard copy?
Yes, it's on Amazon primarily.
Okay.
On my
Facebook. And we have it posted on our main show page, Inspired Living Radio. So if you want to come on over to our Facebook page, check it out. There's links to Monica's site and book. We always do that for our amazing guests that come on Inspired Living Radio. But can we work through some of those tools? Can we address? Because, you know, for the listening audience, they're like, okay, what are these tools? How do I overcome this fear? How do I shift, how do I shift my mindset?
So the first step I would say is name your fear. Again, healthy, real, illogical. I have this quote in my book also: of all the fears that bedeviled mankind, none is so terrifying as the fear of the unknown. So if you name it and you see where it's coming from and you break it down, you're already halfway there in releasing it, eliminating it altogether. So that's the first step. Another one is to diminish your fear. So when fear comes, ask, why is this coming, right? That's the first thing. What is it here to tell me or show me? And then you want to let go and trust. because our strengths are shown through our challenges, and they are designed to show us our most fully realized potential. So if you understand there's a purpose in it, there's something for you there, there's a gift, like you said, in the cave. So really try to see what could be there for you to learn from. And then shift your consciousness. Tell yourself that fear is not an option. Because if you don't give power to it, I mean, that's part of it. We give so much power and energy to our fears that they grow. I mean, we keep them alive, nothing else. So exactly. The consciousness shift is, I think, the biggest component. There's a few more. There's making your anti-fear mantra. So let's say, you know, one of the biggest fears people have is public speaking. For some, it feels like death. And, you know, the fearful thought would be something like, I'll get up, I'll be visibly shaken, I'm going to forget what I want to say, no one wants to listen to me, I'm going to be humiliated, right? These are the kinds of things that usually people have going through their minds. The mantra could be, I love that, you know, you started the show with positive affirmations. I'm a big believer in that as well. But you could have a mantra that says, you know, I'm fully prepared, everything I say is helpful, and it's well-founded, and I believe in what I'm saying, and even if I help one person today, then it's worth it, right? So again, it's giving energy to your strength, to your positivity, to your consciousness versus the doubt, the fear, the worry. That's all in the bucket of illogical fear. And then this really works too. I actually was on Good Day New York, and we got up and we showed the audience. It's called the power pose. And it's when you kind of stand like a superhero, like Superman, you put your legs open a little bit, you stand straight, your hands on your waist, and,
hands on your hips.
You know, there have been studies, exactly, scientific studies, that if you stand in this pose for a few minutes before a job interview or a test or even, you know, a surgery that a doctor's performing, that you'll have more confidence, but also you'll perform measurably better. So that is definitely a way to overcome a fear. And take it step by step. You know, it's like slowly, small change after small change creates great change. And that's what you want to do with the fear. I think if we're like, I'm never going to be afraid of this again, and we set ourselves up like that, it becomes all too daunting, you know, to overcome it. Just step by step.
Yeah, exactly. And that ties into the positive affirmation that we came up with. I didn't know we would be having this conversation, but it was, you know, talking about the person who actually moves a mountain starts by carrying away small stones. So that step by step that you're referencing and standing in that power. It's funny because I've actually done that myself, and I've actually have done that in some of my workshops about setting intentions and how energy follows our intentions and how you can create confidence. I've actually taken it one step further because for the listening audience, most of them know that I'm a big Star Wars fan / nerd. And so what I do in my workshops is I actually bring a lightsaber. And so when they're standing in their power, I have them activate the lightsaber and that energy and that confidence and that, you know, that overcoming that fear with their own energy. And then I usually can't get the lightsaber away from them. So, you know, there's a lot to be said just by your words. Your thoughts become your words, and your words carry that energy and that vibration. And then your body mechanics too, of even just how you hold yourself. I agree with you. I find that to be very, very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, I give this example too. Let's say somebody has a fear of driving on a freeway, right? So it's usually best to start tackling your fears first thing in the morning when you're awake, alert, excited. You know, you don't have too much time to wear yourself down. And then you decide to drive, you know, on the freeway that's not heavily trafficked. And you drive slowly for, let's say, a mile. And then the next day, 2 miles. Slowly you build onto that until you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Just small to big, yeah.
Yeah, just small steps. And, you know, I like how you said, you know, name the fear. One of the things I do with my spiritual development group is one of the very first things I have them do is I have them name their ego, which the ego and fear kind of become friends, right? It's kind of that same mindset of, you know, wanting to have opinion or judgment or control. And so when we are working as light workers or where we're trying to make a difference, there's not a lot of room for ego. So naming your fear is an excellent, excellent way to identify both the ego and the fear, because I feel like they go hand in hand at times.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with kind of just the power of intention, let's kind of, we've got a few minutes before our second break, but, you know, because I'm a firm believer with science and energy and Energy always follows our intent. Everything, if we look at the world with energy, everything is based in energy and frequency and vibration. So why is it important to set that intention that you talked about early in the morning, which I find very important because I do Qigong in the morning to set my intentions for the day ahead? Why is it powerful, and why is it important to overcome fear through the power of intention?
I think that people underestimate really how strong they are. There's nothing stronger than, as humans, we have the ability to change everything, right? Through our perspective, through our consciousness. It's, you know, you can have the same experience I have. Let's say something happened to both of us, and what we derive from it could be completely different just based on where our consciousness is at, right? So I might see something that is perceived bad as a blessing, and another person might just see it as bad. So it's so important to grow that aspect of who you are, so when things come up that are difficult, you're able to handle them with certainty, with strength. And intention is very much a part of that. I have found journals. It's funny, I like to clean a lot. And I found journals that I'd written years ago. And it said, I'm going to write this book on this topic. It's going to be written in this way. I'm going to say it in this tone. I want to share it. I mean, I didn't even think I could write back then. That was like 15 years ago. And of course, the only thing that was not accurate in that was how long it would take me to manifest it. We always underestimate how long things will take. But I was surprised that everything that I had written in that journal had happened, everything. Mm-hmm. So when you decide, your mind is obedient. If you decide, everything's going to follow. So like the fear of the elevators, I decided it's not coming along with me. Well, then that's what had to happen. So I suggest, you know, writing down is so important. I suggest everybody to start a journal daily where they practice this. You know, wake up first thing in the morning and even wake up an extra 20 minutes early if you don't, you know, if you have kids or you have a lot to do, where you write in the journal and you just download everything that's in your head, every belief you have, every thought you have, every doubt you have, every desire you have, and slowly you're going to start to see how your day then evolves. And then the next day, you know, it shifts how you think because you realize that your thoughts create your reality.
Yeah, that's very true. Your thoughts do create your reality, and you have to be a change junkie, like you said, in order to be with all the changes of life that life throws at us. I always like to say, keep up on the waves of change, or you're going to find yourself underneath them. So we're going to be heading to our second break now. Special guest today, Monica Berg, talking about her very first book, Fear is Not an Option. We'll be back here in 2 minutes of Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim and our special guest today, Monica Berg, who is the author of a few different books, but the book that we're talking about today is all on fear. Fear is not an option. So thank you again for being with us, Monica. Before we went to break, you guys were talking about being a change junkie, but you also talk about getting addicted to change. So how do we do that, and why do we do that?
So, I, like most everybody, I did not love change at all. In fact, you know, I'm a Virgo. I like my routine. I find great comfort in that. And at some point, though, I realized that, first of all, we're always changing. Things in our lives are always changing. And, you know, we travel so much. When I got married, I didn't realize that that's quite what we would be doing. And it used to bother me, you know, what do you mean we're traveling again? Or, oh, now there's a suitcase by the front door all the time. And I started to see life in a different way. The idea of waking up in a different reality and stopping your routine everyday life and being able to appreciate the opportunity, the newness of what was to come was really exciting. It also is the formula for happiness. Change happens no matter what. We just get to decide in which way we are changing. Are we going forward? Or are we going backward? And change is just necessary to become your better self. It's great power in change. You know, most people run from it. Everybody says, I like change. We like the idea of change. We don't like the feeling or the actuality of change because it's uncomfortable. You know, we want things in our life to change, situations to change, but we don't actually want to do the work of changing. But I know completely, full-heartedly, that once you start to seek change and you embrace it and you live a lifestyle of change, you become addicted to it because you feel happier. We are curious by nature. We're hardwired for learning new things, discovering new things. And when you start to feed that, your life really starts to work for you. And that's how you become addicted to change. And it really just takes one change in the right direction to change the rest of your life. And you just have to decide, again, back to that word, that it's something you want. And once the first domino falls, everything goes from there.
That's interesting. Yeah, and I know that we've talked a little bit about your move from Los Angeles to New York City. That's a big change. And it's a really big change, having experienced that myself, moving to Virginia from Los Angeles. But there's a lot of beauty that can come with it, right?
It was actually the most, I mean, you've read about the different challenges I've had in my life. But that was the most difficult time of my life. We have four kids. My youngest was a newborn. You know, all the things I anticipated to be difficult, the ones that were the most challenging, I had never thought of. So I was surprised by it. It was so hard. But I remember I kept asking myself in the first 2 years, do I believe in why we moved? And the answer was yes. And so I was committed to sticking it through, and now I love it. And what's come from it is, again, this every day is different. I mean, I knew that if I had stayed in LA, I could tell you that pretty much how every day would be and what my life would look like. It would be very comfortable. It would be very consistent. It would be very safe. It would be very thought out and planned. And you know what? I'd be miserable. I cannot tell you that's we both, my husband and I and all of our kids, we just dove in to this new life, and it was one that was full of change. And by the way, it changes every day. I mean, every day is new, and it's so exciting, it's so fulfilling, it's so rewarding, because along with when you make your reality change, your environment change, you make decisions based on that idea, your consciousness changes. The way you react to things, situations, people is always different. I mean, somebody asked me for an interview the other day, you know, when did you realize that you arrived? And I laughed when I read the question, because I still don't feel like I've arrived, and I never want to feel like I've arrived. I always want to wake up every day and say, what else can I do? How can today look different? What can I create that's different than it was yesterday? That is our purpose.
And, you know, I think once, like you're talking about, everything is, you know, there's a lot of change. When you step into that and, like, you take that move to New York City, for example, it kind of starts to break down that resistance that we hold inside. You know, that starts to loosen up a little. You know, we find that we move with it, with the change and with life a little bit more, with, you know, with greater flexibility and ease, because when we resist change and we say no, we're all bottled up inside. You know, there's that big knot of resistance to change. But then when we move with it, I'm just speaking from my own experience, like, that starts to unravel a little bit, you know, that energy of resistance inside. We start to move with life a little bit more.
Absolutely. You know, it's not the smartest or the strongest that survive in life. It's those that are most able to change that live the longest, actually. Because it's an illusion that we're all under. We think that, okay, once we've accomplished the things that we set out to do, or once we have, you know, financial security, we have the home that we always wanted or the job that we wanted, so now, you know, I'm going to be happy. And then when you get there, you realize that you're not. We're not set up for that. We're supposed to keep exploring, seeking, be curious. It's our nature to seek. We're hardwired for this kind of lifestyle, but we bought the illusion that, no, you're going to be happy when you stop growing, right? We grow, and it's funny, because when I started writing Change Junkie, my other book, my 15-year-old said, you know, Mom, I really think maybe you want to rethink this one. Like, what are you talking about? She's like, not everybody wants to change or is interested in change. And she's like, really think about it. And I take everybody seriously. So I did. I thought about it. And I woke up the next morning and I thought, no, this is exactly why this book needs to come out. At 15, of course, you're not thinking about change. Why? Because every day is changing. In 2 years, she's going to be going to a different school. 4 years after that, she's going to be graduating from college. From that, she's going to have a job. She'll probably have another job. I mean, the next decade of her life is full of change, right? So she's happy. She's fulfilled. It's always different. When we get past that stage, we stop looking at our life in that way, and we think, okay, I'm here now. And then when change starts up again, we get very uncomfortable, and we try to reject it and deny it and stop it. And it's very unfulfilling and very unhappy life in that way. And I know, you know, growth isn't easy, and choosing change over comfort takes courage, it takes resiliency, and it takes self-love. But once you decide, it really is addictive, and it's contagious. You pass it on to everybody that's in your area.
Well, I think one of the greatest gifts that come from moving through change is that we build up our belief in ourselves, you know, which, our belief in ourselves, that we see, you know what, we have the ability to, we can make it through. We look at, you know, we will make it through. We have before, we'll do it again. We did it this time. You know, we start to believe in ourselves more and more. I think that's one of the greatest gifts that I think can probably come from accepting change. But I want to say this too, because I know, you know, when I've told my higher self, God, the universe, I'm ready, like, bring it on. Like, where is it that I need to see change? What needs to happen here? All I have to say is fasten your seatbelt, because when you say you're
careful
ready,
what you ask for.
When you say you're ready, oh, let me tell you, you will see change happen right away in all the most beautiful ways. But yes, when you say you're ready, bring it on. watch out, do not watch out, from a good place. I'm not trying to bring in fear, from a good place, but it makes me smile.
I was going to say, but then when you go back and you look at where you were before the change occurred, you wouldn't go back to that reality because there's no growth there.
Right.
It's like a stagnant existence.
True.
I think that is what I want to inspire people to look at in their lives, right? Instead of the first thing is, oh, I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to resist this. I want them to start looking at choices, at events that have happened and where, you know, and be honest with yourself. Are you happy now or were you happy after you were on the other side of the hardship and the growth and embracing the change of life? It's inevitable.
That's right. That's a very beautiful point that you bring up is that, you know, when you look back, you'll be so happy that, you know, you welcome change into your life and that change did happen. And you look back in wonderment, I think, of just how life unfolds and all that is available to you, all that's in store for you when you open up to it. So that's a really beautiful point that you make. Now, so you talk about rethinking life, that perception is everything, and you do a lot of work with the people that you work with and that you talked about reframing our stories and thoughts to help us move past the obstacles we face. And you talk openly about overcoming an eating disorder. So share with us a little bit about that and how your perception and change in that helped you in that time.
Specifically with eating disorder?
So I
remember, you know, and the thing is not a lot of people usually overcome anorexia. So at the time I was, when I developed it, I was 17 and it lasted until I was 24. And I remember it being the darkest, the loneliest time of my life. I mean, it's a really lonely disorder to have. And there's so much judgment and shame and, you know, basically, you know, you're harming yourself, but, you know, really almost slowly killing yourself. But you know, at the time I couldn't stop it. I felt like I couldn't, this was my best. I was so tired of life at that time and I felt like everything was out of control. I thought, okay, this is the one thing that I can control, which of course is not true, but that was the feeling, that was the impetus that I had. When I felt like that, my first thought when I was going through recovery, when I finally realized that I had a problem, which took some time to see it, I thought, you know, I wish I could meet somebody. I craved love so much. I wanted to be in a relationship. And I remember thinking, you know, the problem is here is that I don't love myself enough. So whatever it is I'm craving from somebody else, I need to stop and learn to give that to myself. That was the beginning of the most important relationship that I ever had, that I ever will have. And that's the relationship with myself. And I think it's a fundamental step people miss in their lives. Because again, we're not really taught this. You know, we're taught to go after different things, chase different things. It's happiness is somehow external, it's outside of us, when in fact it's internal. So when I had that realization, I really started to honor what I believed or what I thought. And if I had belief systems that were damaging or hurtful, I started to change them. And there was tremendous growth and power in that. I mean, the person that had anorexia to the person that is in front of me today, unrecognizable, completely two different people. And I remember when my son was born with Down syndrome, you know, I went from being pregnant, and then I was really in a state of shock after I had him, and I lost so much weight within a month. And everybody said, oh, she has anorexia again. And I remember with total certainty, I said, no, I'm having a hard time right now. I'm in shock. But that person that had anorexia, she's not here anymore. Like, I have different ways of dealing with stress, hurt, pain, fear, and starving myself is not the option. So I think that is the big shift in anything. It first starts with self-love and really catching the false belief systems that we've set up for ourselves.
Yeah, beautifully said.
That's a great point.
Go ahead, Mark. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, because there's a quote in the book that she references from Mark Twain. It talks about keeping away from people who try to belittle your ambition. Small people always do that, but really great ones make you feel that you could become great. That includes yourself, not just the people around you. It's about that internal happiness and being happy with yourself, because it is through you that you become great. That's what I'm just going to add.
Absolutely. Because we expect, you know, again, we have all these expectations from other people to love us, to not judge us, to give to us. And if you don't love yourself fundamentally, or you judge yourself, how can you expect the world not to mirror that, right? So that always has to be the first step.
I just want to add to that, too. It's really nicely said, Monica, because so many people are focused on the other person, you know, the boyfriend or the girlfriend that they want to love them, or you know, being accepted by this person or that person. But the most important relationship we'll ever have in this lifetime starts and stops with us first. So thank you for reminding us of that, because everything starts with self-love, and even that self-love assisting us and moving us through fear, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, very much so.
So we are nearing the end of our show here. So we just want to give a big thank you to you for sharing, you know, from your experiences. We want to encourage our listeners to go check out Fear Is Not an Option and to connect with Monica Berg. And thank you so much for being with us today on Inspired Living Radio. You are the
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.